Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our main text is that gospel you just heard from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You may be seated. If you could sit and learn from anyone who has ever lived in the history of the world, who would it be? If you could hear the stories and gain the insights of a particular individual, whom would you choose? They're fascinating questions to think about, and I believe even more so for those of us who believe in Jesus, the risen one, because they're not simply hypothetical, they're actually future-focused. We will have that opportunity. Sometimes we frame it in this sort of way. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down with St. Paul and I'm going to hear what it was like to be knocked off my horse on the way to Damascus by the Lord Jesus. And we'll have that opportunity, and it'll be incredibly neat to sit with these saints who have gone before us and to learn from them. I'm fascinated by the story of Martin Luther and how God was able to work in his heart and use the word to help him discover the true nature of his grace. And I look forward to hearing him tell that story. Maybe we sit around the table and he uses all that personality that God gave him to tell the story of how he touched his heart by grace. I'm also a big fan of American history and leadership. So I look forward to sitting and learning and hearing the stories of people like George Washington and John Adams and Abraham Lincoln, these key leaders who were given strength and courage and wisdom to lead in a particular time and place for the good of our nation. And the good news is, it seems that we will have those opportunities, because as you look at the writings of these men, it looks like they were all devout believers in Jesus. So we will see them. We will have these opportunities. How neat it will be to sit and learn at the feet of greatness. I love that idea, which is why I'm very excited about what's going to happen over the next 5 weeks as we have the opportunity to journey through God's Word in the Gospel of Luke. Because in these next 5 weeks, we will have the opportunity not simply to learn at the feet of one of the greats, but at the feet of the one who is the wisdom of God Himself. We will have the opportunity to learn from Jesus. Not just someday in the future, but today. Why? Because He's present with us. He has given us the promise that He is present through His Word. He is present by the power of His Holy Spirit, who gathers us together around that Word and causes that Word to be living and active to shape our hearts and our minds. We have the opportunity, week in and week out, to learn at the feet of Jesus. And it's Jesus Himself who gives us this invitation to learn from Him. We hear it, for example, in Matthew chapter 11, where He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." See, Jesus comes to you and to me and invites us to learn from Him again today. And in doing so, He says, we will find rest for our souls. We will find a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. Quite the possibility, quite the prospect. And perhaps it intrigues you if your life has ever felt weary, if your life has ever felt heavy and burdensome. And if you're anything like me, your life has felt those ways at times, hasn't it? Felt a little bit like the weather outside, heavy and burdensome and perhaps dark. Jesus promises, "Come to Me for a lighter way of life." But what does He mean when He says that? What does Jesus mean when He says that He can give us rest and an easy yoke and a light burden? Well, sometimes when people hear that, they perhaps imagine that Jesus is saying those things because they imagine that the new covenant lessens the moral obligation of God's people. We don't have to do those ceremonial rituals anymore. We don't have to do the dietary things. We don't have to do the animal sacrifices anymore. So the burden has been lightened in those ways. The moral obligation has been reduced. And to a degree, that is true about all those things I've just listed. Jesus has fulfilled all of those items. So we don't have to do the animal sacrifices and the dietary stuff and all those sorts of things. That is true. But as you read the New Testament, it quickly becomes apparent that the moral obligation of the people of God has not been reduced according to Jesus. In fact, in many ways, I think it has been heightened, elevated. For example, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will say things like this: "You have heard that it was said to the people of long ago, 'You shall not murder.' But I say to you, if you are angry with your brother, or if you call your brother a fool, you have murdered him in your heart." He'll say it's not enough just to avoid sleeping with somebody else's spouse, for example. He says, if anyone looks at another person with lustful intent, he's already committed adultery in his heart. We'll hear it, for example, with the rich man who relied on his wealth for a sense of security and well-being. Jesus says to him after we're told that he loves him, he says, go and give 10% of your wealth to charity and come follow. No, that's not what he says. He says, go sell everything you have, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. That was a command given to the rich man, not necessarily to each of us in our day and age at this moment, not necessarily anyway, but he does give us this command, this little gem from the Sermon on the Mount: be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Does that sound like a light burden? Does that sound like an easy yoke? To be like God, to make sure that he has the glory, to make sure that we are serving our neighbor with our thoughts, our words, and our actions of every single hour of every day. Does that sound like a light burden? It doesn't to me either. It sounds like a very heavy burden. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I will give you rest. And if we trust that he is telling us the truth, that he's not lying to us, we have to find a way to square these two things. One, the idea that the new covenant doesn't lessen the moral obligation of God's people. In fact, it raises it to perhaps a humanly impossible level. And two, Jesus' promise that he will give us rest and an easy yoke and a light burden. How do we square these things? How do we bring them into harmony with one another? I believe this is where the story of Jesus' interaction with Mary and Martha can be very helpful for us as we move forward. As we come to Luke chapter 10, we're introduced to Mary and Martha. We're told that Martha has invited Jesus into her home. She wants to show hospitality to him. Now in Luke 10 verse 38, we're told that it's not simply hospitality for Jesus, because Jesus has been traveling with his disciples. So we see in the picture, for example, three people. We have Jesus and Martha serving and Mary kind of kneeling at his feet in a learning posture. But that's probably not the scenario that we have going on. It's not Martha preparing food for three people. It's Martha preparing food for 15 or more, because Jesus is there with his disciples. So we get a little bit of a picture of what's going on. This is Thanksgiving dinner. This is the extended family. This is a house full of noise and people. And we're told that Martha is in the kitchen doing it all by herself. It's the only one working. And by the way, this is the first century, so we have no microwaves or anything like that. Everything is being made from scratch, right? And you can tell from her expression and what she says to Jesus that she's getting frustrated. She's getting exasperated. This is a heavy burden for one person to carry. So she comes out into the living room and she addresses her question to Jesus. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me." You can hear the exasperation in her voice. She's frazzled. She's frustrated. Then Jesus speaks. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And in saying these words, Jesus not only commends Mary and her choice, but in the same time, he's inviting Martha. He's inviting Martha into the better portion. He's inviting Martha to experience the one thing needful, the one thing that she really needs. He's inviting Martha really to show Jesus hospitality on Jesus' terms, which is primarily by sitting and paying attention and by listening to what he says and by believing it. You see, an interesting thing happens when Jesus shows up in places. So often we imagine that this is the scenario. We are inviting Jesus in. He is our guest, and it is our obligation to serve him. And while that is true to an extent, and while it is good to serve Jesus as Martha is seeking to do, and we seek to do that wherever we have the opportunity, St. Paul says, work as unto the Lord and not for human masters. That is a good thing to serve Jesus. Yet something happens when Jesus shows up. He quickly begins to turn the tables, and he quickly changes his role from guest to host. Wherever he goes, it doesn't matter if it's your house or your neighbor's house or wherever, the whole earth belongs to him. So everywhere we go, he becomes the host. You see, he comes as the host so that we might receive the one thing needful. Is it important for us to serve him? Yes. Is it more important for him to serve us? Yes. Was Martha's service necessary? Jesus seems to suggest that the answer is no. Because there's only one thing needful, and it's not actually what Martha's doing in the moment. But we might ask ourselves a question, well, how are these people going to eat, right? If Martha doesn't do what she does, how are they going to have a meal to share? How are they going to eat? Well, we have to remember that the previous chapter in Luke chapter 9 is a telling of Jesus feeding a crowd of over 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's as if Jesus is saying to Martha, don't worry about it. Whatever happens, I'll handle it. It's really okay. I want you to experience what I have to give you. I want you to sit at my feet like your sister Mary is doing. I want you to receive something that you cannot get anywhere else on earth. You're scrambling. You're frustrated. But come, let me serve you with words that bring life and joy and power that you've never experienced before. And here, I believe, is where we can learn how to experience rest and receive the easy yoke and the light burden that Jesus has promised to us. You see, the rest doesn't come and the burden isn't light and the yoke isn't easy because of the fact that God has reduced the requirement. Not at all. The reason that the rest comes, the reason that the yoke is easy and the burden is light, is because Jesus enters into our reality and does the lifting. He yokes himself to us. You can imagine kind of two animals, two oxen, for example, going down the field, being yoked together. That's the picture that Jesus gives. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, we're connected with him. And he does the lifting, and he provides the power, and he provides the strength, and he lives the life for us so that we can bear up under the burden and lift it and rejoice in it. Why? Because we are connected to him. It's a beautiful thing. God will say, for example, be perfect or be condemned. Those are very, very heavy words. And yet Jesus comes and connects us to himself and carries us on both fronts, doesn't he? He lives the perfect life for us, does what we cannot do. And yet at the end of the day, he's the one condemned in our place, taking upon himself what we had coming to us. And now because we are in him, covered by his blood and the perfect life that he has given us as a gift in our baptism, we are free to live without fear. We're secure in his love and his forgiveness. We're secure in the verdict that our Father has spoken over us, not guilty. We're his forever. Not only that, but he gives us the power of his Holy Spirit, who has been granted to us and lives in us and has begun to shape our lives to look according to that standard, to be conformed To the image of Jesus. Will that work be finished in this lifetime? No. That work will only be finished on the day when he raises us in glory on the last day to be like Jesus. But the promise is that he's going to accomplish that work. He's going to bring it to its fulfillment. St. Paul says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. My question for you today is, do you want a heavy life? Do you want a weary life, a burdensome life, a life filled with frustration, a life filled with distraction like Martha was experiencing in that moment? If you do, make it all about you. Put yourself at the center of the universe. Seek to manufacture meaning and significance and salvation for yourself by your own strength, on your own terms. And you will find a heavy life. You will find a burdensome life. Do you want rest? Do you want a burden that has been lightened and a yoke that has been made easy? Put Jesus at the center. Let him be the host. Sit at his feet. Listen to his word. Receive his gifts yet again today. Believe what he says. Take your eyes off of yourself and fix them on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And as you do, you will possess the one thing needful, the one thing necessary, really the only thing necessary. His presence, his word, alive in you, granting you rest today, granting you strength as you love and serve others, as he has first loved and served us, and granting you life forever. In his name, amen.